the blessings
of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself.
With this recitation,
I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy, blessed day. O happy, blessed place. O happy, blessed time. O happy, blessed path. O happy, blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dityampi tatyampi saha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. gift and suffering. If any suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If any suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
I had this great practice reminder yesterday. Thursday night, I believe, we had a discussion, and I was talking about how helpful it is to bring a spirit of curiosity to things. So yesterday, we were going to the bridge walk, and we have a particular tire on our car that has a slow leak. Uh-huh. And so periodically, the little light comes on, and we have to fill it up. So the little light came on. And so we went to this air place, and I mean the gas station, the air thing, and I said, well, I know what tire it is, so. Uh-huh. And I got up the little gauge, and it was down. And I filled it, and it was brought to my attention that it might be helpful to test all the tires. And I said, no, it's this one. And because I knew it was this
one. It was
one.
An external person who brought it to your attention?
It was an external person who brought it to my attention. And so finally checked all the tires, and when we got around to this one tire, the little gauge little thing popped out just hardly at all. I said, well, the gauge is broken. Because I knew what tire it was. Uh-huh. So I actually threw out the gauge and bought a new one. Because I was so sure. Uh-huh. And I put the new one on the tire, and lo and behold, just popped out a little bit. And so it was another tire. So filled it up, and within about 5 seconds, the tire light was on again. Uh-huh. So turned out we had a nail in that tire, this other tire. Uh-huh. And life was kind. We were only about 6 miles from a big O tire, so we were able to just go in there and get it fixed. But I just, I just was looking at what a different thing it would have been if that light had come on and I would have said, I wonder what that's for.
Yeah.
I wonder, maybe let's check them all. Yeah. But I just, how knowing something closes off, so closes off possibility that I threw away the tire gauge that would tell me what I knew. It's just amazing. And also how the past is no guide whatever to the moment.
Uh-huh. The past is no guide whatever to the moment.
Yeah.
Well, and as you're saying that, what's occurring to me is that what a fabulous workshop.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you had said, maybe we should check all those tires, you would have missed the workshop that gave you the insight to living curiosity in the first place.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm really, it was a great practice moment.
Yeah.
And, I didn't feel bad about it, it was just a great practice moment. And then, we had this hour-long wait at this big old tire place, and that was fine.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything going about it. But I just was seeing how something can be so clear in group. Uh-huh. And then on the road, it can just be gone, and how unhelpful it is to know.
Yeah.
It's just a great reminder.
Yes. How unhelpful it is to know. Because that place, it's sort of like a place that we inhabit.
Yep.
In the I know mind.
Yep.
And it is just not anywhere near as helpful or maybe even fun or satisfying or whatever as the I don't know posture or attitude of mind.
Yeah, and that what your reflection reminds me of too is that part of what goes on with that is that we've had to fill up this particular tire, the right tire.
The problem tire.
We've had to fill it up probably 4 times since our last service. Uh-huh. And it does, in fact, have a slow leak. And I have a whole story about that and a whole set of emotions around that. I'm mad at that tire. It ticks me off every time that light comes on. And it shouldn't come on, and you know, I have a whole story. So what happens also in a situation like that is not just that I know, but that instantly I get caught in that story.
Yeah.
Another, oh, it's that tire and all that stuff around that. Yeah. There's a whole package.
Yes.
That arises and blocks out any other possibility.
Yes, and we can guess that's really the whole point, isn't it? Because, I mean, the whole point of the, so there's the identity, the I know identity.
Right.
Who gets engaged.
Right.
And then when she's engaged, the whole package of the story, mm-hmm. the irritation, mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. this, the that, the beliefs gets to come into existence.
Right.
And Penny is gone.
Right.
Virtually gone at those moments. And the identity is getting to inhabit this life form.
Right. And all that stuff reinforces that identity.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, that is good to see.
It was very good to see.
Thank you. Yeah, Cameron.
That reminds me of, I've had an experience that's sort of similar in that I was conversing with someone and they were telling me about stress and how they're so stressed. And then they went on to say, you know, my dog has fleas and that's so stressful. And then the smoke alarm went off and it didn't stop. I had to get someone out and that's so stressful. And it was just going on talking about these things. And I thought, those things just seem like life. You know, I mean, uh-huh. dogs get fleas and smoke alarms go off. And so what I was seeing as I was taking that information in mm-hmm. is that within the framework where we're defining what something is, we get the label, this is stressful,
uh-huh.
rather than this is life.
Uh-huh.
And the only reason it's stressful is that I have a definition of uh-huh. life that doesn't agree with what life's doing.
Yes, there is a separation. There is an alternative reality.
Alternative reality, yeah. And I'm comparing what life is doing to my
ideal
alternative of life, and this that I'm having is stressful.
Yeah, yeah, it's like my ideal of life
mm-hmm.
plus what is equals stress. And that
yeah.
equation is just always
it's,
so.
And I could see, as I was listening to this person uh-huh. discuss, that was the case for her. And as I have been proceeding with my life after that conversation, I have been seeing how that is also true for this being.
Yeah.
And that's likely why I was able to see it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the line from Sherry's recent blog that jumps out at me when you say that is, I finally got it that everything can be my teacher or everything can be, you know, used to wake up or whatever. So
yeah.
So that situation
mm-hmm.
and your interaction with that person was a catalyst to you seeing that same process
mm-hmm.
going on
mm-hmm.
in your own life.
Yeah, that's why I think Sangha is so helpful,
oh,
because
yeah.
somebody will elucidate a process in group and it will shine a light on a process that is I have perhaps seen
or
accepted
something that light gets shown
yeah.
on the life that you're stewarding.
Yes, and then yeah. I see it everywhere.
Yep.
And so it informs me of my own processes, and I have that experience all the time. But this was
yeah.
It was a real, I don't know what the word is, I'm missing it, but anyway, it was
yeah.
a good practice thing.
Yeah, it sounds like it was an experience of Sangha, because who isn't Sangha?
Who isn't, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
in that way.
Yeah.
It was the exact same
yeah.
process, just outside of, you know,
yeah.
what maybe is traditionally thought of as Sangha, yeah, these outside these walls.
Yeah, yeah, and like yesterday when I I drove to San Francisco yesterday morning, and so I had set the alarm at a different time than it used to be, so I changed actually two alarms that I reinforce each other. And I woke up and looked at my watch. Oh my God! It was 6 something or other, and I was supposed to be out the door, and I had to shower and dress and pack, and so I jumped out of bed and I just proceeded to, you know, jump in the shower, get everything done, and I didn't even have any breakfast. And then I looked down at my watch again and it said 5 something. No, actually it didn't. It said 6 something
still.
And I said,
oh no.
Yeah, it had gotten somehow in the night, it was on my wrist and it was on lap counting or something. And so it was before I was all ready to go out the door, and it was before the time that my alarm was even supposed to go off.
Wow.
So I had time to have breakfast.
there's an example of I know mine, right?
Well, and I saw that I had gotten stressed over it because I was going to be late.
I see.
And there wasn't anything that I was particularly going to be late for. I mean, I didn't have somebody waiting there for me to do some important job or anything. I had really nothing.
Yeah.
And I could arrive whenever. And I thought, there it is.
Yes.
I made that stressful, and I just leaped out of bed and took care of everything in really a hurry.
Yeah.
And I didn't really need to do that.
Yes, literally, I made it stressful.
The identity
made it stressful. Or
the one who's always on time.
Yeah, and the one who had the idea, right? So as you said, when you stepped back and looked at the situation, what was real was that there was no deadline. There was no hard, fast.
I made it up.
It had been created.
And then I suffered over thinking I wasn't going to be able to fulfill or to live out that reality that I had created.
Wow. Boy, that is, So, and, just to point out, and you saw through it.
Yeah.
So again, it's, you know, and Sherry, it seems to be, I don't know if it's just with me or, you know, but she's hitting that point a lot that none of it is a mistake.
Right.
Yeah. If, as students of awareness, seeing it is everything.
Awareness is everything.
It's not, the point is not to do that.
Right.
The point is to see it.
Right.
And that is just so reassuring to me anyway, that it's that whole episode was perfect. Was a gift.
Yeah. And the person who I was talking with about the stress got stressed about, I shared what I was seeing, and the person got kind of ticked off because if the person thought that I was discounting the reality that was there creating the stress.
No, my stress is real.
My stress is real.
And I'm going to fight for my stress.
And that's what exactly happened.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it workshop.
And there's our choice all the time, right? Yeah. We can fight for our stress, we can kind of stand up for it and cling to it, or we can take it as a great big workshop and say a big thank you for all of it.
And it turns out that we fight for all of our identities until we see that they're identities and that we can be free of them.
Yeah, well, they fight and we kind of get bamboozled.
Yes. Conditioning fights. Mm-hmm. I know. I have to watch my language because I say that kind of thing a lot. Where claiming it linguistically, at least, you know. It's really important to say it as it really is. Ego fights, conditioning fights for the identities, because that's where ego lives.
Yes, exactly. And the more and more we see through it, the less that fight.
Yes, we start to look forward to having it smashed and clobbered and
dropped away.
Just like in the Way of Transformation.
Thank you.
Well, just a little more about that, and it's related to the tire, but this morning I was drawing a little quote card for the day from the little quote card box, and you know, you'd think I'd be able to tell you exactly what it said because it was only one line long, but that was several hours ago. But I do remember it was about perfect timing. And I thought, of course, And what the thing was about yesterday, what was so wonderful, was that we had actually left earlier than we needed to. And what I said was, just in case, to allow for anything that might arise.
Wow.
Now, it didn't quite still get us there when we said we needed to get there, but we got there in time for the event to start.
Uh-huh.
And what I thought in retrospect was, originally we were supposed to be taking some of the stuff down that would have been needed for setup, and we wouldn't have been there because we wouldn't have been there on time. And so, but that got changed so that we didn't need to have that stuff there. So I just, and you know, and at the time that all that was going on, I thought, well, we're not going to be there when we said we would, and there's nothing we can do about it. And so, okay, how do we know we aren't supposed to be at Big O Tire for an hour today?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, clearly we are.
We are. Right? You know, so there, it was so relaxing.
Yes.
It was so relaxing to not be going, you know, we have to get going, and, you know, but just to say, oh, well.
To rest in the utter perfection of life's timing.
That's right. You know, and in retrospect, seeing how perfect it was, you know, and just thinking, it's that way all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
It's just not, there isn't anything to stress over if we see it as it's all perfect and it's all just fine the way it is.
Yeah. It's that way all the time.
Yeah.
It's just, where are we, what position are we at doing it?
Exactly.
Yeah. Very relaxing way to live.
It is a relaxing way to live. You know, I'm aspiring to that. I'm not there all the time, but that's really what, you know, practicing letting go of the things that keep me from that.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Joseph.
Okay. I'm starting this stay in the monastery with gratitude. And perhaps it's you know, started yesterday with the bridge walk, which was wonderful, and be able to see all the views which I never seen, and being with Sangha and being part of this whole event was definitely helpful. And just coming here and feeling, being grateful for having the practice, and coming back to the family, so to speak, is that brings lots of good feelings. And in all, so it's kind of, I find it different than the other situations where it was all stress and tense or whatever. Here I come and it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great event. So then I'm sitting here and during the meditation, and there's this kind of sense of it shall pass. It means it's a sense of time passing. I don't know, getting older, getting so. It's almost like something in the back of my mind is saying, yeah, you have it here, you're grateful, everything is going good, but it will go away, right? It's like, and so even if you can be in this place, there's something that tries to kidnap it and saying, well, eventually you lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow hearing the water going out there, this thing, it's just, yeah, the life is passing like this water in the creek.
Yeah.
And the waterfall, and then it's something trying me to sort of, I don't know, to diminish the effect, or trying to make it less important.
Uh-huh.
Whatever, it's saying, well, maybe it's not that important, and yes, it will go away. The life, the world will just pass on, and your practice might not be that important. And I don't know, just this kind of feeling.
Uh-huh. And so were you, so let me see if I'm clear on the process that you're describing that happened there. So you were in this really place of gratitude of being back among family. It was a fun day yesterday, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then sitting out here just kind of in that place, what arose, or what along comes this conversation in your head, sort of, would you describe it as sort of a noodling of, oh, this too, kind of a philosophical.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, maybe I cannot get you now, but I'll get you later.
Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh.
Kind of thing. It will.
Yeah, so even in that, talking to you, well, I may not, maybe you're okay now, but you know, this is passing, and this won't last, and all of the, you know, you're getting older and life is going, and maybe your practice isn't all that important and it's a bigger scheme.
Yeah, that's exactly
all of that going on, which as you know, when our attention is on that, even, you know, even giving it, you know, just giving it our attention, it's able to kind of draw us out of that place of gratitude in that very moment.
Yeah, even being in a place where you don't really listen to it too much, yet it tries to go from the other angle, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's not like in our daily life where sometimes it can really be in your face. It's sort of just kind of out of the corner of your eye and just sort of creeping in like a slim, you know, slimy little snake, whatever, mm-hmm. to get your attention, to pull you out of the gratitude and pleasure or whatever we're experiencing in this moment.
Exactly.
And the only way it can do that is through our attention. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So even though technically what it was saying, so yes, everything is passing. You know, everything we all know that. You know, I remember years ago we kind of threw around this expression of you just make a show and walk away, and thank you for sharing, and then just walk away metaphorically from the voice. You know, it's like yeah. Mm-hmm. Or another way we talk about it, whatever.
That's
but it can mean. Sound so, deep and meaningful, right? Mm-hmm. But it's just an attention sucker, you know.
It's almost like I'll get you eventually.
Uh huh. Yeah. It's talks big. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'll get you eventually. Thank you, June.
So I know mind let's see, here's how it's functioning right now.
Okay.
And I've heard this in here so many times. It's you don't need to say anything about that, or you don't need whatever, you'll remember. And last Sunday in group, it did that. This practice just kind of dropped in. I'll tell you what it was. Someone talked about sitting in Burmese.
Uh-huh.
And the beliefs that had arisen about that. And I have them.
Uh-huh.
I can sit in Burmese with the right leg in front, but the guidance is to switch every other time.
Uh-huh.
And my left leg is up, and this body just has never worked that way.
Uh-huh.
And so the story is, and I can't do that at all. I have to sit for many years on a bench, and now on a cushion on edge.
Uh-huh.
So seeing that last week, what got down was, well, sit in Burmese with your right leg in front, and the next time, sit on your cushion on edge, and alternate that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, that's very nice. I think I'll give that a shot. And I not thought about it again. So I'm saying this out loud, so that the voice that says, oh, don't worry about it, you'll remember it this time. Because my year-long upping your practice commitment is to address self-forgetting wherever it arises.
Oh, wow, that's huge.
And it's been ultimately fun and exasperating.
Uh-huh.
So uh-huh. I figure if I can get it on tape, I have a chance.
That's right. Oh, that is so good, isn't it? Because and I was just hearing a recording, I don't know, but one of the wee hours, the things that came in was that the more we do that, sort of just jump on it as soon as it drops in, and really, get it down, get it recorded, get it verbalized, get it somewhere from the intuition that life is, you know, in some part where we are able to receive it and just say it, the more available that will be to us. Because it's like we're supporting it as it supports us. We're adding our own whatever to it and in our own participation in that. So Let me just reflect then what you're saying is that, so what you're supporting that dropped in from life last week is that you want to alternate sitting in Burmese with your right foot in front, which works for you, with sitting on the cushion on edge, and alternate it that way instead of left and right, because that doesn't seem to be working for you, but this way will allow you to sit in Burmese, which you'd like to do. And it challenges that belief that you can't do that, that you can't sit that way anymore. Yeah. So it's on recorder. Twice. You said it and I said it.
That's interesting. I've got on my refrigerator a big printout that says, say it out loud.
Yeah. That's great.
It's funny. I'm not thinking about the commitment often, or, you know, it's not really in awareness, and yet decisions happen, or the energy moves toward that, toward the challenging, the self-forgetting, kind of, just because the intention is there.
Yeah, boy, that's the power of that intention. So even though, so you made the intention back in January, I guess, or wherever, for the whole year of upping your game, and even though that itself, the intention itself, is not necessarily always in the front of your mind, it's still working, because you're seeing decisions get made and things get said, and I imagine put on your recorder, and things like that are happening just because the intention is there. Yeah. That's a good encouragement for setting those intentions. Thank you. Thanks, Anna.
What a bridge walk. Just, I feel like all I can do is just kind of point to the heart, you know, like what a bridge walk, or do kind of jumping jacks and with all of the energy that's there. And I mean, one of the things I loved about it was that we met the 52 million steps just so perfectly. So perfectly. And it reminded me of that Rumi poem about the thirsty man calling for water, the water calling for the thirsty man, that you know, this goal was put out there and it was just matched so perfectly, like not in excess, no lack, just... Yeah. Like a perfect match, and how that feels to be such a kind of live process, and just to have, you know, for us to be doing that and participating in that is just so inspiring.
Yes, for us to participate in that so willingly and with such intention and such spirit of Sangha and willingness and all that, that it is that we are, I project what you're saying with the Rumi quote, we are reaching out for the 52 million steps at the same time the 52 million steps is reaching out for us. And it was just such a perfect match without, you know, any great excess on either end or any, you know, residual stuff. And to be able to at that as a life process,
right,
is just such a heart-opening way to live.
Yeah, truly.
And yesterday was such a beautiful example of it from the whole day.
Yeah, just everything about it. And just to be there, I mean, so for me, the project in Cantalamba is something that, you know, so very passionately inspires me not to give a life over to egocentric karmic conditioning self, and to be there with other people who feel the same, you know, who are doing the same, and just to really feel how it's possible for me to be inspired not to give a life over to egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate by this project because of all of the people who have been participating in it, that it exists because other people have made that choice and have been inspired deeply in the same way. And just that, I mean, it's just like tears of gratitude and and awe at just the whole thing, just humans being amazing.
Yeah, I know. I was as you were saying that, I was thinking, back. I was so grateful for that kind of year in review of all of this. And 2002, this happened. 2000, all of that was so wonderful and helpful and inspiring. And the point that you're making, that those people who started back then were laying the groundwork, doing the work, making the project possible, and then whatever year you come along, and now it's inspiring you, and you're doing all this amazing stuff, and then in 10 years, whatever, and so we can sort of look at that, but really, it's like from the beginning of beginningless time, the preparations were in motion, life was in motion for us to be unfolding in this way perfectly in this moment.
Right, with the steps, the first human and the water.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, it's like, how many chills can you get?
Exactly. How cool is all of this, It was,
if there's any way we can get some drumming meditation going.
Yeah.
And that fabulous.
During the heartbeat. Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah, what a stunning day. So, just so much gratitude.
Yeah, I'm there with you. Thank you. Jen?
I love that 52 million thing also. And my favorite part about it, I don't know if people really got it, where Ashwini was describing it, but also I'll say it again, and for folks who weren't there, that so the woman who did just a phenomenal job with the campaign, just like the heart and soul and beauty of what she did to put the whole thing together was just an enormous blessing. So calculating the steps, she used, none of us realized this until the 11th hour, the average length of a person's foot. So that means you'd be walking, but no one walks that way.
Right.
So that's how she came up with the 52 million steps. Mm. Oh. So in fact, it's more like we walk to Cantaloma back here, when you actually look at the stride.
The stride.
So what's so fun is that we put that number out. These are the steps we want to get. That's the number we got.
Wow. Yeah. It's in an eerie way, it points right back to what Jean was saying about intention.
Yeah, exactly.
The power of intention. Exactly. It's like, okay, we intend 52 million steps.
And for people who weren't there, we got, Chris could correct me to give me the exact number, but it was like 52,123,000.
Yeah.
Or something. Almost when all was said and done after we got back from the bridge. We'd gotten what the far flung steps were. It's just really. Wow.
Yeah. It's one of those faith builder kind of moments, like, wow. If we ever thought, if we could have ever entertained a notion that we're in charge and that we're making all this happen, that just busted up when it just all happened so perfectly. Because who could have made that happen other than life?
Yeah, and you're right. It really does speak back to that. I really resonate with the thing of, I set intentions, and then I go on with life. Mm-hmm. I just live life, I guess. And it's extraordinary how that process works, and how it just picks up a momentum of itself.
Yeah.
But there's something so, just so beautiful and kind and supportive, how it's like what, at least in my experience, I'll just say that. So when I sort of put out there in whatever way, this is the thing I'm looking at. This is the thing I really want assistance with. I get so much assistance with it.
Yeah.
And often it's assistance that ego doesn't care for. And that, but to be able to see with, and a piece of it is often for me that place of like, okay, I'm willing for all of it. Mm-hmm. I really am. And I'll do stuff like, if this isn't just completely selfish, and if it fits with the big picture, it would help me to be able to see how this is a gift. Just that sense of like, wow.
And then do you get that?
Oh, eventually. Uh-huh. Always.
Yep.
Eventually.
Because you asked for it.
You asked for it, and I think it's the very, it's like we talk about, in order to, say, record, you have to be disidentified. in order to ask that, you have to be seeing from that perspective to some extent. You know? And just that, we've talked in a couple instances recently that it's very inspiring to me, that place of the possibility we have is to see the karma that exists for each of us, you know, and we share most of it, you know, and then there's particulars of it for each of us, how it manifests. And so what practice offers us is the ability to get very, very familiar with that, you know, kind of the Thomas Edison, oh yeah, there's another way I don't want to live my life, there's another way I don't want to collude, there's another way. See it from that, I forget the conversation you were having earlier, oh, well, there's no mistakes. So see it from that perspective, not like this is bad and wrong and I need to stop doing it, but just from that perspective, and then that the possibility is, and not choose to act from those. Not choose to act from those. And I really, I connected up with that, that last conversation about, I also share that, the motivation of, wow, what's possible when we're not doing that, when we're not choosing karma, and what gets served in that, and what, you know, whether it's 800 kids and their lunch gets served, or you know, whatever it is, but it is a great gift to have such a tangible example of it, of what happens when the I is not in charge.
It is. It is such a gift to see the tangible in that. It, as we were talking about, it serves to so inspire and so reward in a way that the intention that we have, you know, that we all set, and just to take in the pleasure of that seems like a real booster, tonic, or however we want to, you know, toward helping us continue in that path that we've chosen for our lives.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that I think is a tremendous gift of practice, I mean, I've been in this practice for, you know, a long time now, so I don't have a bigger perspective on whether it's available other places, I imagine it is, but one of the things I feel like the guide offers us very particularly is that, so if you take something like the work in Cantalumba, it would be really easy to get sidetracked into the content of it. I mean, it's compelling. You know, I mean, they're kids who are like, I mean, people who are really, really poor and are not eating and they're undernourished and there's not healthcare and there's not. But that's never allowed to happen, ever. That the how it happens and the process of it is always the most important thing, and that no content ever trumps that.
Can you give an example of that?
I was just thinking of that too. I can't think of a particular example, but to try to try to explain it a little more, it's like, I don't know, this is just what came up, but so, if an I comes in to try to want to take credit for that really good thing that's happening, or, you know, something like that, that's not going to be supported.
Yeah.
That it's always a, you know, like you'll see, for example, someone will say, will express incredible gratitude, like let's say to Sherry, you know, thank you so much, or blah, blah, blah. We're, you know, we're so, and she'll always respond with something along the lines of, we're very blessed, aren't we? And that's kind of what I mean, that it's always, framed in that place of, this is life living perfectly.
Yes.
And there's never any, there's never any I allowed, whether it's, I'm going to get urgent because this is really important and the stakes are high, or I'm going to take credit for this, or I'm going to make something happen here, or it's up to me, or anything like that.
Yeah, nothing serves the I.
Oh, well, I just thought of an example. Okay, so that it can be tricky to do work in that situation for a bunch of political reasons and that kind of thing. And so there are ways that I've seen organizations handle that to get around, like, okay, what do you have to do to get stuff done? And we don't do it. That it's always been clear that we're offering this project, and if life supports us in that, great. But we're not going to do anything that isn't in keeping with kind of how the heart would do it.
Uh-huh.
Like, we won't do something that the heart wouldn't call us to do in order to get this thing done.
You wouldn't. We wouldn't ever do anything that, if it were brought to the light of day,
we would feel a little, we haven't done that.
chagrined about.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that there's no end justifying the means.
Exactly.
The means is everything.
It's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and an example that came to my mind a moment after I asked for an example was when, and I can't remember who it was. Maybe you remember, but it was the trip I was there, and we were discussing someone who needed a loan for to take her child to the medical facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it would have been so simple. The money was there; it was so simple just to give the loan. But we could make an argument that it was kind of urgent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the team took the time to really. Under your guidance, to look at it, to discuss how does this impact the whole.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, nobody was slipping her money under the, you know, mm-hmm. saying, here, go take care of
mm-hmm.
it. Or nobody was saying, well, you know, we have to not give the loan to her so that we give it to her.
Mm-hmm.
There's
mm-hmm.
none of that problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
None of that.
Mm-hmm.
It was to look at the process as a community,
mm-hmm.
as a model of who we are, because we are a cooperative. And
right.
this is how cooperatives operate,
right?
Operate, yeah. And so that was to me a real beautiful example of living in process
mm-hmm.
and not in content,
mm-hmm.
and the content got taken care of absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess it's just as I look at it, it's you know there is greed, hate, and delusion.
Mm-hmm.
There
mm-hmm.
is, and we're never going to address that on the content level.
Yeah.
You know, so you feed a bunch of people who are hungry, great, but that's not, we're not doing that without in ourselves, this is for me, looking at the source of the greed, hate, and delusion.
Yeah. And that, you know, again, our project comes from a place of having suffered enough.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like once, you know, for whatever great good fortune, we get it, that just feeding a bunch of people have been feeding a bunch of people for, you know, a long time, you know, so I mean, they're trying to feed it, but that doesn't end the hungry people,
right?
You know,
right?
And it doesn't transform, it doesn't offer the kind of transformation that's possible in the process oriented lifestyle that we choose in practice.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, precisely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Chris.
So it's a good thing we made the 52 main steps because I was going to require everybody to stay after.
There's the bridge. Go walk it again.
However long that took. I was looking at, too, how, you know, my participation in the steps and how that went. So there were times when I was inspired and life was dropping in the reminders, and then other times when things kind of slipped by.
Uh-huh.
But there was that effort that got made.
Uh-huh.
And that I just had this image of this like energy that's coming out from that kind of group intention that's just enough to enliven just enough of the participants in whatever way, you know, whatever energy I had. If that infected someone else, then that contributed, and it was just enough all the way around. You know, so with counting steps, I wasn't being aggressive, getting people to, okay, give me your steps. You know, really.
Getting on the phone every night, getting your steps calls.
I just did the bridge walk, right? I mean, so that wasn't, I mean, back to the conversation about it's the process and not the content. And then, you know, two people came and found me right before we were to do the final tally and said, oh, I haven't given any of my steps since August.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, that's kind of what got us over that last little hump.
Yeah.
And it was just a few seconds before. And one conversation was a couple, and he says, this many steps. And she says, no, you walk way more than that. And so they, and then it, you know, came up with a number, and it was more than the original number, which is more than the margin by which we topped.
Yeah.
And so there's, it's just too much.
And at so that point.
It's like,
yeah.
Yeah, all of this, you know, that little conversation, there's, you know, life is informing that conversation, at least I like to think that's right, that it's all being kind of perfectly orchestrated in every corner to kind of head that way, and then in the end there was that 52 million.
And all of those processes going on
everywhere,
you know, everywhere.
Wherever they need to happen, in whatever way that, things not being quite counted enough, and then, things slipping, but that slippage was all accounted for.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so.
Like all of these different ingredients in this recipe, and then the recipe turned out perfect. You know, and it all is going on simultaneously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being orchestrated by life for people who are paying attention.
Yeah.
To it. Yeah.
Yeah, being orchestrated by life for people who are paying attention. Yeah, and aren't we lucky to be paying attention so not to miss it?
Mm.
You know, so it's like we can project easily that it's going on in everybody's life all the time, because that's just how life works.
Yeah.
But those who get to see it, the joy of intelligence knowing itself.
Yeah, that's so good, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then in that place, not to take credit for it, but to really see that life is doing it and orchestrating it perfectly. And, you know, I have a part to play, and if I'm there, I'll get to know what that is.
Exactly. If we're there, we just get the benefit of knowing, of witnessing life in all of its, you know, magic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beth?
What's resonating with me in this morning's discussion is the whole idea of the process of how I live life, or how life is lived through me.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the more accurate way to say it. The contrast between the bridge walk for me last year and this year is just almost, light room, dark room, night and day.
Mm-hmm.
Last year it was, I was already here at the monastery and about a week into my stay, and we were given the guidance going down to the bridge walk, see how you are, you know, with Sangha, and kind of relaxing and having the ability to have conversation and all that, and look at, you know, if any identities are coming in. And conditioning just shut me down, because it didn't, authentic Beth didn't know how to operate without the conditioned identities, is probably the best way I can say it now.
Yeah.
And so I sat off to the side a lot by myself last year, and like, I don't want to say the wrong thing to someone, you know, the wrong thing, and all this. And so it was just this very, you know, interesting experience of, and then the only time I talked, my mother's words came out, you know, like all the conditioning that I had been kind of brought up with. So, of course, fascinating to see and all of that. But this year, just with the practice over the past year, and then really looking at Sangha and that feeling of belonging, that sense of really having connection without even having all that karmic conditioned connection. So being able to really relax yesterday, and the feeling of being with people in a group where it just feels relaxed.
Yeah.
You know, instead of high charged or, you know, party atmosphere or things trying to get done, or obviously alcohol or any kind of, you know, mix in there that just tries to modulate. That frenetic energy that conditioning so often brings to a group setting. So I just had a blast yesterday. I just thought it was a lot of fun to have the conversation and have it be relaxed, but have it not be, conditioned, ruled.
Yeah, so to not be sort of have conditioning hovering over your every word and in what you're going to say, and how you're going to be, and your mother's words going to come out, you know, all of that sort of judge energy kind of not even there,
right?
And just really being able to relax in the spirit of the group, as you say, so different than other group gatherings, other group parties or events, you know, that have
all kinds of other elements to it. But in this particular group, it's easy to project anyway that it's following the pace of life and, you know, responding to the energy that's there and bringing, you know, all of that kind of stuff in a place where a deep sense of belonging is there.
Yeah, and even as much as there was other kinds of groups around us and people passing by, it's almost like conditioning. It's kind of like small mind, big mind kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Conditioning kind of being around, but the focus is on what am I doing here?
Yeah.
You know, here's how I'm choosing to be, and here's where my focus is, and then all of this that's happening around is, you know, it kind of comes by and then goes away.
Yeah.
It's nothing I bring my attention to.
Yeah, it's exactly the internal process writ large, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we're, you know, conditioning is always around, doing its thing, they're kind of circling around the perimeter of our attention or whatever.
Yeah.
And yet our focus is on what's right here. My focus is on living this life. My focus is on being here. And we can, you know, see that evidence of, or you project that out, you know, see that outside.
Yeah. That was wonderful.
Yeah, it really was.
I was struck in the conversation about the walk, reminder that we're all selves in the body of the Buddha,
mm-hmm.
and how there wasn't one person that walked whose contribution wasn't important,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't that each person's contribution was acknowledged as, you know, da 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 da, walk so many steps.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was the contribution to the whole, and that was just so beautiful. And you know, just coming from that place of having a bit of karma that, well, it really won't matter if I don't show up; nobody's going to notice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just seeing in that how it really matters,
how untrue
that really is.
Yeah.
And so grateful that we don't have that kind of bridge walker. We have the tally of the top walker was good.
I know. No brick wall.
Right. So contributed 200,000 steps.
It's like, I'm like, oh, isn't that just so wonderful?
That just what each of us contributed was just as important as, you know, the next.
Well, and what you're saying makes me real, it harkens back to what we were talking about, that no cell, no ego, I is going to usurp the attention of away from the whole,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's such a relief to live in that way that's not what, at least in this expression of life and community, that's not what gets rewarded.
And you know, I woke this morning again with that real open heart experience that people were talking about,
mm-hmm.
and just this renewed commitment to just bring 100% to everything,
mm-hmm.
whether it's the dishwashing or what, and just seeing that's what was demonstrated in that walk.
Yeah.
Everybody brought 100%, no matter what that.
Yeah, their own unique 100%.
Their own unique 100%.
You know, so everybody's contribution is different.
Yeah.
And everybody has their own 100% that they're responsible for bringing, that we need people to bring, you know?
Yeah.
And it doesn't all look the same, and it doesn't all need, in fact, it can't look all the same, but it's all as vital.
Yeah.
And so to wake up with that renewed commitment of, and it goes for the bridge walk and the work in Cantalamba, and it goes for everything, you know. And so to really wake up into that place of wanting to live in that 100% is a gift to every all of us and everyone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it was just a gift to have everybody there with us, whether they were there with us and physically yesterday or not.
Yeah.
You know. To just feel that contribution of everybody, and especially all the, especially the whole world.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really.
Yeah.
And the part that we can really see, like those 50 million, 52 million steps weren't from the people that were there yesterday.
Yeah,
right. It was much. It was all.
Yeah. One of the things I did with walking was just dance every day too. Uh-huh. You know, and it was just such a great thing because every time I danced, I could just. I could just feel the children and everybody in Kentalumba there, and
yeah.
And everybody, you know, and just how it just made the world a community.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. And you got the joy of the dance.
And how fun it was just to have that dance energy and just like send it out there, all, you know,
uh-huh.
to everyone and hold it.
Yeah.
Way better energy to pass them around than wanting to. Fix something. Trying to make something better.
To give oneself to the process.
Exactly. Yeah. Just share that joy. And,
I know. I largely because of things you'd shared about dancing, but I would get to the end of the day, and if it was like, you know, 8,000, I was like, okay, it's going to be a dancing night. Yeah, you dance every 2,000 steps, you know. Yeah. Like, yeah, usually takes, you know, 4 or 5 times. Yeah. But it was a real to get into the spirit of I'm doing this for, you know, and set this goal, and I get to whatever way life is going to offer to have that done. It can be done.
Yeah. Yeah. Just seeing too that it's like. As a mirror of the work in Cantaloupe, I mean, we don't go there to, let's see, I don't know how to say this, it's for our own practice.
Yeah.
And that what we get is just so much more than what we give.
Yeah.
And to just, you know, what I got and just the walking and the dancing and everything was just so much,
yes.
You know, like that was the catalyst to do that.
Yeah.
And it was a gift. It was a gift to this person.
Yes.
To do that. And, yeah. Anyway.
It taps into something much, much bigger. And then we get to enjoy it.